This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's what I'm talking about. Nice job, Eddie Scazzeri. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, on and a fan. And, of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. We got a great show for you today. You know, people believe that seven's a lucky number, Boom. Well, when your starting pitcher gives up seven, I don't know what's all that lucky about it. And you could point to either Jacob deGrom or Mr. Tanaka, who, other than that one start over against Oakland, which he lost, actually, over the weekend, has just been brutal. Jones, no relation to Adam, of course. And DeGrom's got to be the, I mean, from a Met fan perspective, you know, you're playing the Brewers, you're feeling good, you won with three in a row, let's go, let's go, let's go. And DeGrom don't even give you a chance to win. Bad time for him to have that kind of game. Lots in between. But first, we start the show with some class and dignity. Good morning, Boomer. How are you today,
well,
buddy boy?
Well, thank you very much, Craig. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm not going to get all worked up over Jacob deGrom. He actually had, you know, four previous good games, and yesterday was just one of those days, you know, and you just follow it away and you just move on. However, I will say this, because I did watch a little bit of Tanaka early on.
Yeah.
And if I am the Yankees, and I am a Yankee fan, well, Yankee fan's going to be worried anyway, and I know that just because the nature of the fan.
Sure.
But if I were Brian Cashman and Joe Girardi, there's something wrong with him. There's obviously something wrong with him.
Although he pitched so well against Oakland.
That's once.
He went eight innings. I know he has not been good this year. His ERA is like nine.
You know, Oakland's not a great team. You know what I mean? This ball is flat, it is right over the plate, and it is getting mashed.
Yep.
And there's no movement. He threw, I guess he hit 94, 95 last night.
Not in the Major League Baseball, so what, right?
There's something wrong with him, and I don't know what it is. It's got to be physical, I think.
Well, listen, he's given up 14 home runs already this year, 22 of last year, more than six runs. His ERA is over seven, man. I can say at least it's bad. He hasn't won since May 8th now, so it's almost a month since his last win against Cincinnati. He did pitch great against Oakland, but I'm with you on this. I know there's a pride amongst baseball players apparently born in the Far East where they don't like to have surgery. He opted out of the surgery, and it's paid off well for him. I mean, he was their best pitcher last year. He's in an option year this year. Supposed to be a great year because he can opt out of the contract in theory and go get $200 million. Guess what? That's off the table now.
Just so you know,
he's pitched terribly.
He has given up 67 hits in 55 innings.
Which, for a guy who's supposed to be an ace of a staff with a 98-mile-per-hour fastball and the ability to also pitch around, you know, trouble in the corners, blah, 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 it's terrible. He might be, I make the argument right now, Boom, for all the, if you take the ace, like, not every team's got an ace.
I know that, but if you take the number one starting pitcher,
he's the bottom.
He could be the worst one pitcher, but
no doubt,
you know, that is still playing because the other one would be Noah Syndergaard, who's out.
Right.
But it's almost as if what happened to like Tim Lincecum, like what happened?
Like you just lose it all of a sudden for no reason, right?
Where is his game gone?
Then they throw you in the bullpen, and next thing you know, you're only making $1 million a year.
Hey, how about
problematic though? I agree with you. There's something up with Tanaka. They got to figure it out.
I don't know if you shut him down for a couple of weeks, just give an extra week's rest or, you know, skip a start or whatever.
What's amazing is that they're 10 games over 500 without him contributing all that much, to be fair about it.
True.
So, you know, if you had said that to me a month ago, well, we don't know what's wrong with him, but let's shut him down. I would have been like, no, you're out of your mind. You need him every fifth day to get it. But if you want to shut him down for a week, skip one start, fine. All good. There is something else out there, Boomer,
but
today.
But as good as the story is of Aaron Judge, is as bad as the story is about Masahiro Tanaka.
Absolutely right. Judge, by the way, they announced it yesterday. and again, he ain't got nothing to do with it other than his performance, his personality, is a second in all American League voting for the All-Star game.
Good for him.
Number one, Mike Trout.
Yeah.
So he's right up there. Now that Trout's out for 6 to 8 weeks, Judge is the leading vote-getter of active players in the American League. But that's not where my focus is today, Hanson.
Well, where is your focus?
Something magical happened last night. Like, truly a transcendent moment.
Yes.
And it happened in sports, by the way.
And it happened at Citi Field, I bet you.
Matter of fact, you see, 10 years later, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going with
this one. I can't pull nothing past you.
And you know what? This guy,
something,
whoever
this
it is
great, I think.
Okay.
And I want to be clear about this. I know there's some parental outcry about it. For the limited amount of people that actually watch the Mets play right now, there is some percentage of those people that were upset by it. The Mets are going to handle this, quote-unquote, internally. And I think he should be applauded for it.
Handling it internally, what does that mean?
That means they're going to suspend or fire or fine what I'm about to tell you, the person that did what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah, I know.
The person that plays the role of Mr. Met last night got into it a little bit. And he's very frustrated. After all, DeGrom's not pitching well. The Mets are 500.
Is something going on with Mrs. Met?
There ain't nobody in the ballpark, right? Meaning that when the ballpark is relatively empty, and you've experienced this as a player,
yes,
right, unfortunately,
yes,
you can hear fans pretty damn good.
Yes, you can.
Like, if the fans are within about 20, 30 rows of the field, if that guy's got something to say, we all pretend like we don't hear it, but you hear it loud and clear, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Mr. Met heard it loud and clear. What did Mr. Met do, Booms?
Well, he flipped off the fans, Craig.
Oh, I love it.
And he only has four fingers.
He gave the fan base the finger last night.
Well, how did he do it? Because he only has four fingers.
Well, he used the obvious one that he's got, the longer than all the other ones.
He did the old arm.
He did the
bend.
Don't do that. You can't do
that. I'm just saying what he did.
He did the old ustonombre asiato thing, right?
Right, right.
And he gave it to the fan base.
And you love it.
And I love it. And I'll tell you why I love it.
But yeah, but you can't send little kids home like that.
They're having nightmares. I'm glad you brought that
everything's
up.
Bad. Now all First of a sudden, off, Mr. Met is turning on the fan base. Where the hell is Mrs. Met when Mr. Met needs him?
Let me say something about this.
I should say.
Number one, let's take stock of what Mr. Met is. Mr. Met is a person with a baseball for a head, right? He's not like the Philly fanatic where he's some kind of monster thing.
It's kind of like
he's
Michael
not a chicken.
Kind of like Michael
he's
K.
like Michael K.
Yes.
A person with a big baseball for a head. Well said, yes. That in and of itself is somewhat comical, right?
Yes.
Number two, for those of you that filed complaints with the Mets, and apparently there was a good number of people that did.
Oh, I'm sure.
Imagine the things you and your precious little children saw on the way to the ballpark. Right?
Okay.
I guarantee you it was worse than Mr. Met flipping you the bird. All right? Number three, it is good to know that at least one member of the Met organization is willing to fight back. Because the Mets take it and take it and take it, and they keep giving you more crap on the field. And when you give them the business...
They just won 3 out of 4.
Yeah, but Mr. Met is now the most relatable mascot in town.
All right.
Mr. Met has endeared himself to me personally. You know what? Sometimes I say this.
By the way, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many mascots are there in town?
Well, the Islanders have one.
Sparky.
The Devils have one. He dresses up like.
Oh, that's right. Okay, right.
That's about it. Maybe two. I don't know what it is.
There's three.
Yeah, Mets, there's three.
Do the Nets have one?
The Nets had one, but they didn't stay with it.
Why not?
The guy like that full bodysuit thing is no good. They don't really have one.
All right.
But here's my point. And I want to say this. I'm saying this on behalf of guys like you, athletes who've played the sport, against guys like me who like to consider themselves athletic but never played on that level, right?
Narpian.
Here's the deal. Mr. Met flipping off the fans is well-deserved. Now, I always say we as fans, we're the mob, we've never lost a game. So when we're critical of guys that play, well, we've never lost a game, so we, of course, know everything that we're talking about, right? Every once in a while, it's good for the fan base to also be criticized, put down, and giving it back to them.
Really?
Now, we deal with it every day here in our jobs where you can call us up and say, hey, Boom Ray Carton, you suck. So, listen, I get it a lot, and I'm just a fan, right?
Yeah, okay.
But the average fan sitting in the stadium is rarely ever critiqued or responded to the way you'd like to respond
all
to
right,
that.
So something,
Mr. Met did everyone a favor last night.
So somehow, some way, Mr. Met was being insulted by somebody.
Yes.
Who is that person who insulted Mr. Met?
Well, I don't know if that's
Met.
Come out yet.
But I think we got to get to that, too, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, listen, I think we could paint a picture, a stereotypical picture of who that person is. Probably a little overweight. Probably a good 4 or 5 beers into the night. Probably went up for food 2 or 3 times. Either has had the tickets for a while and had to use them, or someone in the company had them and said, hey, anybody want to go?
Maybe there were a group of guys. Maybe,
I imagine
maybe
there probably
just
were.
One. Maybe it was a whole group of people that were yelling at Mr. Met.
I think every now, not often.
Which really pains me.
Boomer,
well,
not
what,
often.
What did Mr. Met do?
Not often. Not often. But sometimes we deserve the finger ourselves. And I'm proud of Mr. Met, because Mr. Met still gives a damn. Mr. Met's out there performing, and ain't nobody there to see it, right? It's like being Johnny Depp, and you go from Pirates of the Caribbean to some off-Broadway schlock, and there's 9 people in the audience, and you're still a great actor. You're wasting your talent. Mr. Met wastes his talent almost every home game, because nobody's showing up. And you know what? He finally snapped.
He finally snapped.
So here's what should happen tonight. All right?
Yes.
As the Mets are home against the Brewers again this afternoon.
Will there be a new human inside of Mr. Met?
Well, I hope he doesn't get fired. I'm advocating you let this kid or guy keep his job. Let's come on. It's a tough job being a mascot. It's like a million degrees in there. The fans are a-holes, and you flip them off. Good for you. Here's what I would say, though.
Yeah, okay.
If the Mets had any creativity or ability to laugh for themselves a little bit, here's what you do. And pick it whatever inning it don't matter to me when you do it.
Okay.
Mr. Met comes out, and you bring out Grandma Met.
What about Mrs. Met?
Or Mrs. Met, and she sits him down in what amounts to like a school kind of school.
And she's like scolding him.
Scolds him with the ruler.
Yes.
Pop, pop, pop.
No, you can't
right?
hit him with the ruler.
No, yeah, old
all
school.
Those advocates
he holds
of
out his hand.
Are going to go crazy.
Good. That's why their kids are soft.
You can't do that.
All right? And you hold out Mr. Met's hand,
right.
And you smack it.
Okay.
And then it's all forgiven. He apologizes in a nonverbal manner.
Right.
They hug it out and end of conversation. And the Mets can have some fun with it. You know what I mean? But if Mr. Met gets fired, that's a disgrace. It really is. Come on.
Mr. Met.
Oh, no, he flipped off the bird. You know how many curse words I heard on the way to the stadium? You know how many drunks I saw on the way to the stadium? You know how many disgusting human beings you see on the way to the stadium? And then the Mets, of course, have to apologize.
Of course they do.
What do we apologize? Apologize for your play on the field.
They've won 3 out of 4 games.
Apologize for Cespedes not playing. Pledge pin.
Yes.
Apologize for that crap. Apologize for not signing a single free agent. Don't you dare ever apologize for the relatable behavior of my main man, Mr. Met.
You know, there's no room for any free agents. Bringing everybody back, there's no room.
Now, I have another question for you. All right, did you watch the Tiger Woods video?
Jake Gensel. What?
Did you watch the Tiger Woods video?
I did.
I viewed it like a movie. Did it live up to expectations? Did it disappoint you? Did it exceed him?
I would say it gave me exactly what I kind of expected.
There wasn't enough for me. I wanted more.
You wanted more?
Like I wanted more for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. I wanted more. I don't know why I wanted more. But they show you him trying to walk the line. You know, when he first walks up to the car, his eyes are dead shut.
I thought the officer was very polite.
The officer did his job.
Great job. Yes.
Yeah, and listen, they know they're on camera. They know it's Tiger Woods. And they deal with drunks or, you know, people under the influence all the time.
Yeah.
I felt like, it's funny, you watched it. And I had to watch it again. Did you do the same thing?
And again.
Yeah, it was like one of those weird things like, oh, it's like, what? Oh, he's wasted. Oh, he's wobbling in the air. He can't walk the line. I mean, he is completely obliterated from a pharmaceutical standpoint.
He's barefoot.
Well, they had him take his shoes off.
Oh, they did? Okay.
His shoes were on. He couldn't tie them. And then when he couldn't tie him, he took him off. He put him under
now,
the cruiser.
Now, it looks like he's wearing something that he may be sleeping in. Or would have slept
long sleeve white shirt, shorts. I mean,
it looks very casual.
Very casual, which is why I'm thinking he takes the pills. He's out of his mind. He just starts driving.
So we still, at this point, I haven't seen it anywhere. I've read a million articles about it.
Yeah.
We do not know where he was coming from and where he was going
to. Well, he doesn't know. So how the hell is that? It was like they were tracking his car.
So, but what I'm saying is wherever they pulled him over, how close to his home was that?
Supposedly, it's in the neighborhood. He wasn't like 50 miles away from the crib.
So it sounds like he probably, maybe what you were talking about yesterday, where he just totally had no idea what he was doing. He got up. But the interesting thing is they found him sleeping in the car with the seatbelt on.
Well, he's responsible. Did I just say that?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just his natural. Maybe he's going. Maybe he's just going flat instinct. I get in the car. I put my seatbelt on. He don't remember doing that. He don't remember it at all. But I know he was near his home. That I know. Boom. I know some other gal came out and said he wasn't with me. Oh. Like, who asked?
Nobody.
Yeah, but let me make sure that so I want to announce right now, just to make myself part of the story. Contrary to many reports out there on the street boom,
yep.
I was not with Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay.
Before he got in his car.
Well, okay,
I want to make sure that I can make myself part of the story.
But it was, the guys are at the Memorial. That's Jack Nicklaus's tournament in Columbus, Ohio. And most of the guys are all saying the same thing, what we're saying. That it's sad to see it. It was hard to watch. They hope that the best for him. They're not really sure what's going on. I mean, like, everybody's saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just not
people
a good
think it's I love the phrase, it's a cry for help. Like, come on.
I wonder. I asked you that yesterday. Is it?
I hate that term. I don't like that term at all.
Why not?
I don't like it.
But that's what people say.
Yeah, but I don't like it. I don't like hearing
people say
it.
That.
I don't like people saying it. I don't like it.
But people say
now,
it. You know they say
he
it.
He might need some help. I don't know if he does or doesn't, frankly, but I love when the armchair shrinks come out. Oh, this was a very obvious. This is clearly a cry for help.
Maybe it is.
Well, there's no cry for help. He took drugs. He got in the car. Who's he crying at? Oh, help me. Help me, Wanda. Help me. No, help me. No. Now, cry for help.
Well, I mean, there's still obviously more aspects to the story that we have to wait and hear so we can at least get a better understanding of exactly what he's dealing with.
I'm just dying for somebody to come help me, so I'm going to do something really stupid to get attention to myself. There's no such thing as a... let me rephrase that.
All right.
There is such a thing as a cry for help. When someone actually asks for help, right? They write a letter. They call a buddy. They email you. Things aren't going well. I can really use some help.
But this is Tiger Woods.
A guy that puts drugs in his body and drives, or does something else that's stupid... That's not a cry for help. Trust me, a cry for help is when you ask for help in some manner. Exhibit.
Yeah, but there's also that subliminal cry for help. That's what this is all about. That's what people feel like
subliminal.
This is
subliminal.
Why can't you just wrap your head around that?
Because I don't buy it.
What are you, like, some sort of tough guy?
No, not at all.
I'm a tough guy over here. I don't.
I've been accused of a cry for help, but I don't like the concept of it. Yeah, so I don't like it. I don't buy that.
Who accused you of a cry for help?
You've accused me before of a cry for help, but I don't like it.
No, I haven't.
I don't like the concept of it. If I want help, I will ask you for help.
Yeah, but I never accused you.
Will you help me?
No.
See, that's why I don't bring it up.
But I've never accused you for a cry for help.
Yeah, yeah. About a year ago, you wanted to get me a shrink in here. And you're like,
but I thought that would be
Craig, you were up again last night that said you didn't sleep. You're crying for help.
I never said you were crying for help. I was saying that would be very, I thought, entertaining for our fans and for the people that are working with you to watch you go through something like that.
Maybe
I was just looking at it from
tell Facebook Live I got a new show for him, Me on the Couch.
A very selfish aspect to being, entertained.
Boomerang Carton on the Fan. By the way, Rob Manfred's going to join us. It is not being promoted every 20 minutes, though, on the Fan. He is the commissioner of one of the four major sports, however, and he'll join us exclusively on the phone later this hour. Hopefully that's being promoted. And was promoted, Al, every segment of every show yesterday. I want to make sure that we made, should get the equal billing as the other commissioners.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Mr. Matt?
Yeah.
I really hope they don't fire
him. Reports say he's been fired.
Oh,
no,
come on.
No.
We got to fire. We got to get the guy and bring him in studio.
We got to come up with our own mascot.
Mark, why don't we?
Mark, Al, tell Mark... I need $1,000 in the budget. If Mr. Met got fired, we're hiring him. We're going to have a new mascot of WFAN.
That's right. We're coming up with a new.
And we're going to create a mascot.
The Fan Man.
And he will be our first official mascot.
The Fan Man. I like the Fan
and
Man.
And we'll premiere him at the 30th anniversary over at Vanderbilt Hall.
And he can give people the finger at Grand Central.
He
That's awesome.
All he wants. He's our mascot. The fan's mascot.
The Fan Man. The
Did
Fan
Man. Did he get fired?
That's what reports say, which I thought I saw at about 3 o'clock man. This morning.
The Fan Man.
I got to tell you,
go. What's he look like? I mean, we got to create an actual.
Dude, I went to the.
Mark, $1,000, put in the budget, done, thank you.
Dude, I went to
Mark
the.
Mark said yes, I love that.
I'm the tiny tot of the kilowatt.
He didn't say no.
No, he said yes, he's in. He loves the concept already.
What he said to me he can't wear his Mr. Met outfit. I said, no, he's our mascot.
He's
now.
We're gonna
hired. We want the Fan Man.
Actually, we're gonna come up with a costume. We're gonna build a costume. He's gonna be the Fan Man, as Jerry said.
Fan Man actually already existed. There was a incarnation of a Fan Man mascot.
Oh, we gotta come up with something else then.
For the radio station?
Yes.
Or really?
Yeah, well, this was back in the 90s.
What did he look like?
Just like, you know, one of those muscular superhero-y guys and.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I think we should have like a little contest.
Do we need to have an animal, or do we need to have like a person? I like the thought of an animal.
I think the animal's good.
I think like a combination type of dealio, but it's got to be like a really awesome mascot uniform. I'm loving it. Did he get fired for real?
That's what reports say.
Well, the Mets have no sense of humor.
I'll tell you, I went to the New York Post app on my phone.
Yeah.
It's a great
He's
picture.
Right on the front page, right? And
look at that picture.
It's great.
It is an awesome photo. And unfortunately, somebody lost their job because they lost their cool.
Of course.
I get it. I understand why.
Yeah, the question could be asked, and you brought it up in the start of the show. If you only have four fingers, which one is the middle? Right?
Yeah, well, that picture kind of looks like it's the middle finger.
He's walking, and if you didn't see it yet, Mr. Matt, this video of it, he's walking down the tunnel, and boy, he gets caught quick, and then he puts it down real fast. Some guy's chirping at him, so he turns around, he hears the guy, and he flips him the bird.
It goes really quick.
I'll see if there's audio. If you go to the Twitter account,
there you go. Look.
@Alucia35. I got it here.
I got it. Okay.
Check if you can check it out for me. Jerry's here. I know we got to stay on time today for at least the first hour.
You know what?
Or so,
you know what? The amazing thing is that
don't stay on time, Boomer Gun.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, you don't have to shut up. I'm just saying.
No, you're doing a talk show. Talk. What do you got?
Talk.
No, I was gonna say it looks like the guy who yelled at Mr. Met is the guy who filmed Mr. Met.
Of course,
douchebag right. That put it out there.
Oh, time out.
That's what I think.
What makes him a douche?
What are you yelling at Mr. Met
I love
for?
This. The fact that Mr. Met's got the clones
no,
to give it right back.
Mr. Met.
So how would we know if this guy didn't put it out?
I'm telling you, the guy who yelled whatever he yelled at Mr. Met.
He instigated the whole thing.
We don't know what he yelled at.
And then he took a video of it, and then he sent it out. That's
I love it.
Crap.
This is right up your alley.
So if you're the dopey-ass fan out there that did this, why don't you call in and tell us how proud you are of yourself today?
Well,
you got some
guy
to lose his
let
job.
Let me see if I can reach Tony T right now.
They're making Jake Waddle a star for getting kicked out of the game the other night in Pittsburgh, so let's make this guy a star, right? He got Mr. Met, the man, the legend that got Mr. Met fired.
Mr. Met fired.
Wait, hold on. First off, we don't know if he's fired yet.
No, I said reports say he was let go.
Who's reporting that?
I think
Sweeney?
ABC, right? Al saw it on ABC, I believe. No, that's Sweeney. Sweeney would be with the Yankees.
Did A-Rod report it?
What is Ed Coleman doing?
He would be at City. Would have been at City Field last night. But I don't think he was tracking the Mr. Met story as much as he was in the locker room last night, worried about why the Mets lost.
Here it is. Here it is right now. The team said the employee who did it won't work in the costume ever again. Come on. Really?
That means he's going to be reassigned? He could be like a beer vendor?
More than one person plays the role of Mr. Met, apparently.
That's what I thought.
The person who donned it Wednesday night will not do it again. That's according to, on the condition of anonymity.
You need anonymity for Mr. Met to be fired?
Terry Collins isn't allowed to talk about
it. I call that community relations.
That's unbelievable. I mean, in In a year where everything's gone wrong for the Mets, injury-wise and everything else.
Wait a second.
Now the mascot got fired?
If Mickey Mouse gives a kid the finger at the Magic Kingdom, is that guy not getting fired?
He is getting fired.
Of course he
is. It's a lot different. Time out.
No, it's not. No one's cursing Mickey Mouse out at the Magic Kingdom.
How do you know?
Because he's Mickey Mouse.
And check this out, dude. There's no way that he was flipping off a kid. He was flipping off some maniac with a cell phone who's got a picture, and he gets the guy fired. You know, that's...
I need a graphic designer immediately. I need to design a costume for the fan man. We are going to give whoever this kid is, we got to reach out to him as well. We're giving him a job. We're going to give him $1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000 to come to 5 appearances on behalf of me and Boomer. Dressed up in the new Boomer and Carton fan man costume.
You guys want in on that? Or?
Is it the Boomer and Carton fan man or is it the fan man?
I like the Boomer and Carton.
It's not the fan man because they'll F it up.
All right, okay. So we got to do it. It's the Boomer and Carton man.
There'll be meetings about it. There'll be failures to finish the job. They'll want to monetize it. They'll be able to do that. They'll want to think to make a special appearance when we get that done.
Get advertisements on his shirt.
Traded out. Have the Vinny the Tailor saying, it'll be all terrible. We'll take control of this one. They'll pay $1,000. Done.
Do we do an animal or do we do a person? That's
now,
the question.
I'm being told now I have him on the hotline.
Well, that didn't take long.
I'm not sure.
Jesus.
I want to just say this before I put him on. I can't say if it's real or not, but we're going to find out together, aren't we?
Yes.
Mr. Met, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Boomer. How's it going?
All right. Well, Mr. Met's not supposed to talk, but this is the guy inside the Mr. Met costume. Was that you?
Yes, that's me.
Walk me through exactly what the fan said to you. That made you react the way you should have reacted. I got your back in this. What did he say?
Well, you know, Carton, I'm out there doing my thing. I'm out there supporting my team. And I got these guys heckling me from, you know, like you said, 20, 30 rows back. And then I'm walking into the tunnel, and they show up, and they're still getting on me. And I'm just out there trying to support my team. I'm trying to make things happen for us. I think the season's going to turn around and go in the right direction. I'm just trying to get a spark going.
You know? Have you been fired by the organization?
I can't really talk about that right now.
You can't? Who spoke? Did Jeff Wilpon talk to you?
I have not heard from them yet, no.
All you know as of right now is that you're not allowed to be Mr. Met anymore.
Well, you know, that I've heard nothing official yet, but I love the Mets organization. And
How long have you been Mr. Met?
I've been with them for over 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure you've heard a million things come your way or be thrown your way. what made this particular incident make you react this way?
I think it's a lot of frustration that's going on through the season. And, I think I might have been a little bit wrong, but I just...
I'm just glad you haven't said Baba Boo yet. So far, this is going in the right direction.
It sounds like a legitimate call.
Now, let me ask you this. Will you accept our offer of $1,000 to be the new Boomer and Carton fan man?
If things don't work out with the Mets, absolutely.
Do you have a meeting scheduled with the Mets for today?
I can't discuss that right now.
All right, so that's a yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a 1 o'clock game. So what time will you be at the ballpark being admonished?
If for a 1 o'clock game, I usually get there around 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Got it.
All right. I'm still trying to figure out what in the world would these guys have said. Did you know that? I mean, you must have been hearing it throughout the game?
Yeah, throughout the game, the entire game.
Right? Do you know even who these guys are?
No.
They're random guys at a ball game. By the way, what inning did it happen in?
Hello?
Yeah, what inning did it take place in?
I think it was in the 6th inning where it started.
All right, well, listen.
Oh, when it started, when did you flip them off?
Flip Mr. Matt.
Oh, that was later in the game when I was heading in.
That was towards the end of the game. Game was over, and they were heckling you as opposed to heckling the players.
Let me ask you this question. Yeah. Are you interested in hosting the afternoon show starting December 16th?
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll give you a shot, try it at that.
I think I deserve one there.
Listen, I'm going to put you on hold. And no joke, we're offering you a job right now. $1,000. You have to make four or five appearances in public on behalf of me and Boomer and the radio station.
Is he allowed to flip off the fans?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. matter of fact, you can drink. You can hit the medical marijuana. Whatever you want to do is all good by us. Just be a real person. That's all, okay?
All right, thanks.
Now I'm going to put you on hold so Al can get your number. As soon as you get officially fired, I want a phone call about that, okay? All right, brother. And by the way, let me ask you one more question.
Yeah, sure.
And since we do not know your name, and I, even if we did, I promise I'll keep it quiet. Ballpark, how much money do you make a year from the New York Mets doing whatever it is that you do beyond being Mr. Met?
Oh, come on, Carton. You know I can't talk about that.
More or less than 20 grand.
Oh, I can't discuss that.
25. Less than 30 grand.
I can't discuss that.
All right, hold on one sec. Well, there you have it,
you
know, Mr. Matt.
I feel bad for the guy, man.
We got to take a break. Commenting.
You can hear it in his voice.
Commenting on the Mr. Matt scandal will be the commissioner of Major League Baseball.
F you.
That's a very nice Mr. Manfred.
Yes.
He will come in a moment, and he will share his thoughts on Mr. Metgate exclusively with me and Boomer on The Fan.
All he is doing what everybody in their car is doing right now, as they're getting cut off from behind. All right, it's all about a 6:35 ticket drop brought to you by your local Tri-State Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com for all the great deals going on. All right, we got a pair of tickets to see the great Guns N' Roses in their Not In This Lifetime tour this October at Madison Square Garden. Tickets go on sale Saturday, June 3rd at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. Right now, be caller number 7 at 866-540-9326 to win. It's all from The Fan.
Jerry's got a very good point.
Yeah, what's that?
If you go back to 1988 when Boomer Esiason's the NFL MVP, could you have ever conjured up a moment where you'd be sitting in a chair talking to a stuffed animal and being paid handsomely to do it?
He's not a stuffed animal. He's a human being who lost his job.
When does it...
may lose his job.
When does a daily routine consist of art, dance, and cultural experiences?
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Here's Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Rob, Boomer, and Craig, how you been, buddy?
I'm really good, guys. How are you this morning?
Well, we've got a scandal on our hands now. And I figured, I don't know if baseball needs an official mascot, but we've offered the kid a job. And that's how things are going for the Mets now, where Mr. Met has given the fans the bird.
Yeah, well, that was unfortunate. And I'm sure that the Mets will be taking appropriate corrective action. And we'll move on from that particular problem.
Yes, they apologized via Twitter, and I think he's got to go through Disney training like everybody else.
Yeah, the amazing thing is, Rob, and being a quarterback of a team who's from time to time have had a losing record, it is not easy to sit there and suffer the slings and arrows of people screaming and yelling at you, especially when they're knee deep in it and they're drunk most likely, and they're yelling some very, very unkind things. So. I guess, you sit in a very unique situation because your players sometimes could go off and make a wrong decision and somehow, insult the fans. I would imagine that the Mets probably feel the same way about Mr. Met, that, you have to be above the fray, that you can't listen to it and you can't react to it.
You know, it is true that you have to be above it. But, it's the same thing people tell you when you have a job like mine, don't listen to or read everything that people write about you in the newspapers. It's easier said than done. And occasionally people do react incorrectly, and it's unfortunate, but it does happen.
Let's talk about a couple things baseball-wise. Obviously, I'll get to the Yankees and the Mets specifically in a minute, but there's one thing that's happening in baseball right now that for the life, I think I know why, but I don't know exactly why. Albert Pujols is about to do something that very few men have ever done. It's hit 600 home runs. And you turn on the game, and this is, I think, problematic in a lot of stadiums right now, this time of year. And at the start of the game, you see a lot of empty seats. And it's much harder to watch a game in which there's empty seats than when a stadium is packed. And I wonder if you're cognizant of that and how much of a problem you think that is for the sport right now.
Well, we're running attendance rise just about where we've run for the last decade. In terms of this point in the season, we're exactly on track to average right around 30,000 fans per game, which is, you know, an amazing number when you think about it. It is always an issue prior to kids getting out of school that we draw a little less than we do after schools are out. And, you know, we're a family game. And when you play 81 home dates, if you don't have those families, it's hard to fill it, and it's obviously tougher when they.
Am I right in saying that it seems like the Pujols 600 is not being promoted or marketed or talked about amongst baseball people the way, you know, the few others were?
Well, you know, I think sometimes you get caught in that New York bubble. People always talk about Mike Trout and, you know, why you don't hear more about Mike Trout. He's, you know, the best player in the game and such a great player. And, you know, sometimes California teams, we don't hear as much about them here in New York. But, you know, I think in other parts of the country, they certainly are well aware. I think on the home run thing, some of those numbers – I think have been impacted by the period of time that we went through with Bonds and McGuire. The numbers got so big that people became a little numb to it.
Yeah, you know, we're talking to Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner. We're going to play his softball team tonight up in Tarrytown. We'll get to that in a minute. Rob, so to me, as a fan of the New York Mets, I see something happening with them as I see all across baseball, and that is the injured pitchers, the injured starting pitchers. I don't know if you guys have done a study here. I don't know if you've talked about this. Maybe I'm overreacting because it just happens to be my team, and it seems like over the last few years, we have lost more starting pitchers than I can ever remember, and I don't really know what the problems are. We always sit here and we try to discuss these things, and we're not sure, is it because of the pitchers they're trying to throw, as hard as they're trying to throw, is the arm really built for this kind of activity? And I'm just wondering, from the commissioner's standpoint, is there a trend here, a negative trend towards pitchers going down and getting hurt more than in past years?
Well, two of the hottest topics in the game right now, you touched on. One is, you know, the predominance of hard throwing, power pitching, and the impact that that's having on the way that the game is played. Starting pitchers going shorter, lots of relievers come in, maximum effort late in the game, and we're paying a lot of attention to that trend. One related issue is injuries to pitchers. A lot of people believe that the way kids are being taught the game, throw hard all the time, the specialization that's taking place in youth sports before they get to us, and then, of course, the maximum effort that they're putting out as professionals to throw 99 or 100 is an issue. We have a committee of some of the best team physicians in the game that are studying this issue. They've been at it for a little over 2 years. They're doing a longitudinal study of organizations as to how they train their pitchers to try to figure out if we can help teams keep these great young players on the field longer and more often.
Talking to Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner. Tonight's our third annual charity game, the Boomer and Cardinal All-Stars against the Rob Manfred, former Major League Baseball players who can all hit the ball 900 yards and come right from the gym to the baseball field and try to embarrass us for the third consecutive year.
And he gets great joy out of it,
at DeVries Field in beautiful Sleepy Hollow, and Doyles will be there with their ribs and all that stuff. And, you know, it's a great night. The weather will be great, and we raise a lot of money for a number of charities, mine included. So, you know, we're grateful for that. And we'll get to your loaded team here in a minute. You know, a lot's been made, Rob, not just about baseball, but probably more about baseball than any other sport, about the relationship you have with quote-unquote millennials. How do we, you know, get young kids in their 20s to want to come to the ballpark the way we did and our fathers did, et cetera, et cetera? And you guys made some changes, you know, the automatic walk, the first, no one long requires four pitches, and we're going to try to, quote-unquote, speed up the game. But you get to a dangerous point there, I think, of changing the beauty of the game where there is no clock, there's no time on it, to accommodate one group of people. And I wonder, for you as a fan and now as commissioner, how sensitive you are to that as you move forward?
Well, extremely sensitive. I think the most difficult thing about my job is to try to figure out that balance between the need to change and modernize the game and make sure the next generation embraces the game on the one hand, and respect for the history and tradition of the game that's so important to our core fan today. I think that we've done a lot of research with our fans of all ages, and I think the place that we feel comfortable is dead time in the game, that all of our fans, no matter how old they are, particularly when they're watching on television, you know, fans love our in-park experience. We can kind of mark that settled. They think it's great. They don't care about, you know, delays because there's plenty to do. You can talk to people, you can get food, whatever. In the broadcast audience, dead time is a bigger issue. And it's hard to be in favor of dead time. You know, it's like being in favor of obesity. When nothing's happening, you know, catchers are making their 10th visit to the mound in a single half inning. Those are the sorts of things that we think everybody would like us to see tighten up, and we've got plenty of that low-hanging fruit to work on.
Hey, Bob, what is the update now at the Miami Marlins? You know, obviously we heard that Jeb Bush now is pulling out. I know that Tom Glavine is a part of one group. Derek Jeter is a part of another group. Do you expect the Marlins to be sold anytime soon?
I do expect the Marlins to be sold this year. You know, transactions in baseball, like all transactions, as values go up, get more complicated. This one got public prematurely, quite frankly. And it's going to take time for either of the two groups, and quite frankly, there are other interested parties, to get their financial house in order to undertake this transaction. But I do expect it to happen.
Well, listen, the LA Dodgers were bought for just a tad over $2 billion. It came out yesterday, I guess Forbes, whoever does that, and said the Dodgers are now worth $2.5 billion. So
that's
gained
the Dodgers, though. That's
but
not
still,
the Marlins.
It's a $500 million growth in a couple years, which brings me to the team that shocked everyone. The team that's really the little engine that could. A couple of, you know, no-name young guys who have captured the spirit of America.
Oh, here we go.
Exciting brand of entertaining, winning baseball, 10 games over 500.
Somebody just got an email from Lon Trost.
The pinstripes are back. We got the judges' chambers. We got the Yankees. All the Tanaka stinks right now. As a commissioner, the importance of the number one most popular franchise in the sport being not only relevant, but damn good this year. How do you fill in the blank to that, Mr. Commissioner?
Well, look, obviously it's important for our sport, like all sports, that our marquee franchises perform well. The Yankees have had a tough period, and you know, they're playing much better this year. Their ratings are way up, and you know, it's great for the sport. It really is good for the sport.
Would you join me in the judges' chambers in a game in late June?
You know, that kind of partiality is bad when you have my job. So I think I'm going to pass on that one. But I am, you know, I'm glad that this year, and I know we're going to get to it, but I'm glad you started whining in advance of the play of the game. I think that's a really positive development for you. It's important that you understand where you are. You might as well just get it out of the way early.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, Rob, I have to agree with him. I mean, you know, the first year we did this whole thing, you kind of sandbagged us because we got out there and we're out there hitting, you know, pregame warm-up and batting
regular
practice.
Regular people.
Regular guys, kind of a schlock group.
Just
I mean,
like
I'm
us.
Like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to be able to keep this game close. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, comes this bus. And off this bus comes basically what looks like the Cuban national team.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
really, I mean, you set us up.
Look, I've been consistent with you guys about this over the years. Two points. You know, it is not shocking that people who decide to spend their career in Major League Baseball actually have some ability to play the game, number one.
True.
And number two, I've always offered and will offer again this year to show you the W-2 forms on every single person on that bus. Okay, so, you know,
let me say that last year I know we raised over $20,000 for Make-A-Wish, which is near and dear to you and your family's heart. The game is at DeVries Park in Sleepy Hollow.
It'll be a
We're
going to
get
night.
There at 6. First pitch will most likely be about 7 o'clock. I know we have Chris Sims and Matty Martin and who else is coming?
Ricky DiPietro.
Ricky DiPietro's coming. And a whole bunch of other surprise guests will be on our team and your team as well. And at the end of it, we hope to raise a lot of money. And I know your family's been very close to Make-A-Wish for a long time. And if you just want to walk people through why it's so important to the Manfred family, we'd love to give you that opportunity.
Well, you know, we became involved with Make-A-Wish when we still lived in Maryland. You know, before I came to New York to work for baseball. But when we moved to Tarrytown, we got to know Brian Doyle because, frankly, of his involvement in a number of things in the community. We became active in the chapter in the Hudson Valley, have been supporters. It's interesting. We actually passed it down a generation. My youngest daughter went to Colgate and had a, while she was up there, raised, I think, $12,000 with a student run for the Make-A-Wish Foundation in Central New York. So it's just one of those, we try to pick charities and concentrate on a few, and Make-A-Wish of the Hudson Valley is at the top of that list.
Yeah, and J.P. Doyle's is a great place, the best ribs I've had in Westchester, and the Doyles are great people. So we're glad to be a part of it. We will see you tonight at about 6. The game will start at about 7. And I'll say this to you. Since we always have a friendly wager on the game, should we beat your team this year? If that should happen, you at least have to combine, say hi to me and my group of lunatics in the judges' chambers later in June. You ain't got to sit there. You don't have to, you know, you just got to come by and say, hi, guys. That's about it.
You have a deal there. Now, but what happens if we win? You don't want another side of this bet?
If you guys win.
Which is more likely, yes.
Boomer and I will come and serve you lunch in your office.
Okay. Can I tell you something? We have a deal, okay?
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Rob, always appreciate your time.
We'll
see you tonight. Thanks,
pal. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner.
I think I just came up with a great idea for the mascot.
All right. What do you got?
I personally, because it is our 30th anniversary and because he's kind of going out on top, why wouldn't we make
you
it
wanna
like
You want to make the, like a Francesa thing?
Call him the Fran Man.
It's Boomer and Carton, mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Mrs. Met, you're on Boomer and Craig. What's up?
Hi, Boomer. Hi, Craig.
What's going on, baby?
How you doing, Mrs. Met?
I'm very, very upset about what happened last night.
Yeah, what happened when Mr. Met got home?
I think he had some personal issues. Maybe it was a cry for help.
Well, where were you when he needed you most?
I was home. We have a little ping pong ball in the oven.
Is that right?
Yes.
And
Might be twins.
Did you see?
I'm very concerned about Mr. Man. I don't think it's fair. And if he does get fired, how am I going to provide for the little baby? Baby Mets.
How many baby Mets are there?
There's a dozen.
What is this, the Cromartie family?
Mr. Met is very passionate.
Well, listen, you take care of your business at home. I'm sure everything will be just fine with you and Mr. Met, and he'll survive. After all, we've offered him $1,000 to be our mascot starting at the 30th anniversary celebration. Bart Scott's here. He ain't got nothing to do these days.
But I tell you what, Mr. Met could come hang with me. We're both unemployed right now.
That's right.
Nice. All right, great.
But I tell you what, listen, you got to own it. Listen. You did what you did.
Right.
Don't apologize about it. It's nothing you can do. They have to fire you.
So no,
you
they might, don't.
They got to fire you.
Look,
it's politically correct. You look at what happens with Kathy Griffin. She wanted to apologize, which she did what was wrong, but it's nothing that you can do about it. So own it. You have no, you know, control really sometimes of how you live. You can control how you die. You know, if I'm going out, I'm going out all
swinging.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I said it. Become a legend. He could have became a legend. He should have pulled his pants down and mooned him, too.
Well, he didn't know he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say this. Assuming he does get fired this morning, he should say, okay, sneak into the dressing room, put on the Mr. Met costume, and go.
Why didn't he take the... I would have took the baseball head off, went in the stands, beat the hell out of the guy, then went and put it on. Nobody knows what the guy looks like without the head on.
Did you do that when you got fired from CBS?
Well, you know, they had me on a security list. I tell you what, when I came here, man, my code don't work no more. What's up with that?
Well, that was boomer.
I was just at the door.
Nothing to do with that, man.
I was just at the door. Doot, doot, doot.
Denied. What I love about Bart, and I love working with Bart, is that what you hear and what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Every single time. So.
I was disappointed in the whole thing.
Hey, man, it is what it is. Like I said, I've had my biggest growth from my biggest setback. So whenever I've had a setback, I know something big is coming. So I ain't worried about it, man. Hakuna Matata.
When they called
Boomer
you,
Rich.
Did they know? Did you know they were calling?
Okay.
Huh?
Did you know it was happening?
Well, they kept asking for extension, so extension. So I knew they were doing their due diligence. I knew they were interviewing people. But listen, that's the nature of the business. No matter what, CBS has boosted my brand. You know, I've been at the top. So anything else, I got my options about what I want to choose to do if I decide to do that. You know what I mean? I ain't tripping.
Do you think that they could have used you better? Like, I always thought, and I said this to Boomer on and off the air, Bart Scott, there's a better way for Bart to be involved with the NFL today. And sitting there having to give a quick soundbite in 30 seconds, I thought, wasn't the best use of your abilities.
Well, one, I talk too much. I need a little bit more time. I need a little bit more space to paint my pictures. But listen, that was part of the business. And at the end of the day, whether it was, you know, it was deserving or not, at the end of the day, it's my responsibility to impress my employer enough to make sure that they don't have an option. So the fact that they felt like they had an option to move on, it's my fault. I didn't perform enough. So I ain't tripping. I ain't saying
that's a good lesson for everyone to learn.
You have seen the headmen. The only thing I'm worried about is I'm at risk of losing my Jamaican status, because to be a true Heyman, you know what I mean, you got to have at least 5 jobs, and I'm down to 3, so I'm looking.
He's got a lot of jobs.
Got
he's
eight
out
now.
There. Yeah, I got 8. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's on a whole
Jamaican.
Different category.
Yeah, exactly.
Boomer's
Heyman. Three jobs. Jamaican's no good bum.
The amazing thing about Bart is when they made the announcement, I basically immediately called him. And I just said, look, man, you know, I went through this myself. I went through it at ABC.
Yep, very
public.
And
I think the way you look at it is you look at it as another opportunity to go find something else to do. If you want to, that's the question. Do you want to?
Yeah, you know, I'm going around the circuit seeing what I want to do. But the good thing is, like I said, with the CBS brand, building my brand, I have options to decide what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And who knows? Maybe I can be the third wheel. I can be Champ. You know, you got Larry, Curly, Moe, and I can be Champ. I can be a guest.
Well, depends.
As somebody guest, you know what I'm saying?
I always said, if you let Bart Scott just be Bart Scott, it'd be great TV. I'd love it on the radio.
Everybody can't handle the truth.
I would have you go, I said this to Boomer, I go, if I'm in the NFL today or Showtime or any of these other shows, NFL Network, I would dispatch you out to another guy's like a ball player's house, have you spend the weekend with him, and turn it into like a good 3 to 5 minute like package. Bart Scott hanging with the guys, I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, no doubt.
Because you can do your thing.
We can do that. You can executive produce it. Y'all got enough bread right here to afford me.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
But I tell you what, man, I'm glad that you brought the energy up because I don't know who that last guest was, but I fell asleep. When you talked to me there, you put me to sleep, man.
Well, that was the commissioner.
That's why I came
baseball,
here to try and double fist.
Yeah,
but
no,
listen,
that was the commissioner of baseball.
I'm not sure if he was all the way awake.
But it's early. He's an older man. He never
knows. Yeah, I woke up yesterday to get here, man.
I'm shocked that you got here early.
I had to.
Right?
Listen, fighting that traffic, I wouldn't have made it, man. I got up yesterday to come here.
Nice. I saw you walking the streets of New York. I go, what's Bart Scott doing? I'm walking the streets of New York.
Balling on a budget, baby.
So everything's good with you. I was told that you were coaching some football in Jersey. And you know, some dads think they know more than anybody else. And they feel threatened if someone knows the sport that they're allegedly
daddy
coaching.
Daddy ball. A lot of daddy ball on them.
I was told that you were coaching football in Jersey. And a couple of dads who were involved in the league, I don't know what the story was, but went to you and said, Bart, we appreciate you being here, but we're good. You don't have to come back and coach no more.
No, that ain't true. Listen.
Never happened.
That's one place I can't get fired from. I would have karate kicked the mess out of somebody in their chest coming with that. I'm looking for a fight, man. I got a lot of built up animosity right now.
You're still coaching kids in Jersey?
Absolutely. Twinborough Bears. And actually, I'm about to do my own football camp, but you know, that's the reason I did it. You know, the reason I became a coach is because I went – you know, and everybody knows how dangerous football could be or potentially be.
Especially if it's not taught right.
Right. I'm sitting in the stands, and I hear this kid telling my kid all kind of wrong. So I say, listen, man, one thing you're not going to have is my kid out here getting jacked up. You know what I mean? So I went out there, I started, you know, coaching. I've actually been coaching for 4 years. This year I get the blitz. So we're going to see if some 12-year-olds can pick up a full slide jet wide protection. We'll see.
So you are the defensive coordinator of a football team.
Man, I'm about to jack some kids up. Straight up.
Straight up jack up.
Hey, what is the mixed question? Did you always show up for the voluntary OTAs when you played?
Oh, this is a great question. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I did because I was a D1 double slap, you know what. You know what I mean? But listen, I had this argument the other day. You know, and everybody knows, I tell it how it is. You know, I've came at Odell Beckham,
yep.
You know, when he was acting like a little, like, two-year-old on the sidelines. But nobody cares about OTAs, man. Really? Nobody cares. Listen, Ray never came to OTAs. Jonathan Ogden never came to OTAs. Peter Roware always faked the injury and had an off-season surgery, so he didn't have to come back to the second week of training camp to miss all the hard stuff. Suggs was in Arizona. Ty Heat was in Arizona. Like, nobody cares. Let me tell you something. If somebody's willing to pay somebody to work me out, pay. When I can go get trained for free, I'm going to do my work if I'm paying somebody to train me. What people don't really talk about is how sorry some of these strength coaches are. Some of these strength coaches are horrible.
Right.
And so they make this generic program, right? They make this generic program, and it's catered to everybody.
One size fits
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it's not specific to me.
Yeah, but you know what the problem here with Odell Beckham Jr. is? All the other stuff that goes along yeah. with him, and then he's not here. And you know he's going to want a ginormous contract
he
after
deserves
this year.
It.
I'm not saying he doesn't. He does deserve it. And I also told Craig, I said, you know, at the end of the day, nobody really cares about this. All they care about is when they play against the Dallas Cowboys opening yeah. night, that he has 10 catches, 200 yards, and four yeah. touchdowns. And they're all spectacular, and everybody's going to love him
absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
And I don't think the players really have an issue with it.
Players
I can't
care.
I can't imagine that they would. As a matter of fact, if I'm Sterling Shepard, if I'm Brandon Marshall, who's on a new team, I got more opportunities
it's
now
great.
With Eli Manning.
It was perfect for the young guys, right? Because now I get to go with the ones. I get the ones coaching, you know, and now I get corrected. I get opportunity to get reps under my belt to get that experience. He doesn't need any more experience. You know what I mean? He's getting better.
But,
he's working
all
with
right,
Chris Carter.
Yeah, but now he's working with Chris Carter. Now
Chris Carter's not helping the
he's helping him to get a fall guy. You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. No, but the point being is even Chris Carter is saying, well, he's going to mature. He's going. I mean, wait a minute. Time out. When are we going to grow up? What are we going to realize? We're a professional football player. We're going to stop this nonsense. And on top of that, you got Josh Norman already spouting off about how the NFC East is going to be out of control this year.
Well, Josh Norman is just, you know, he's a salesman. He's like the
he's
little.
Good. I like
he's like
him.
The little chihuahua. Yeah. But listen, he need to tighten his game up because he was exposed a little bit. And it's only going to get more difficult. OBJ is a great player, and I think he deserves to be one of the top highest paid, you know, one of the highest paid, you know, players in his position. Mature, what does that mean? Like, some guys never grow up, you know what I mean? And you can't expect your best player on the team to be a leader. Everybody's not a leader. That's not everybody's personality. You have your leaders, and guys appoint who the leaders are.
Yeah, the issue with him is that, listen, it's voluntary, so it's
Man.
Voluntary. That being said,
voluntary but mandatory.
When you say I'll be there Thursday and you don't come, when you blow off a couple kids' camps over the off season, when you're living the life that you're living, and all of a sudden you're taking shots at your head coach or the
well,
wide receiver
the other thing,
coach,
now that the retweeting,
like
of
don't
tweets.
Show up fine, but now they're taking shots at. You know, the coaching staff, which that to me, you've set all these records. You're the best player on the team
yeah.
under his watch. What did he do wrong?
Well, we're speaking about the maturity of the player. He's still 24 years old, and he's going to realize.
When does that end, though? I mean, you know what I mean?
Maybe
$29 million
when he has a kid or something forces him to mature. But right now, he has, I'm sure, a bunch of enablers around him, a bunch of fluffers going around telling
right.
him how great he is, you know, putting the moisturizer in his hair and all that good stuff. You know what I mean? So, you know, he needs to surround himself with people that's going to help build his brand. And something that he, because at some point his body's going to give out. All athletes do. And at the end of the day, your brand is what you sell. And he has to realize if he wants to make a smooth transition, if he wants to make $1 billion or whatever and be the face of football and face of Nike or whatever, that he's got to do things a certain type of way. And he has to be politically correct.
Talking to Bart Scott, you know, this whole thing with what happened to LeBron James now.
Yeah.
The racist graffiti. Well,
it's
racist graffiti. Well, it was racist graffiti that was found on his fence, and in Brentwood, California, owns a spread there, I guess. And the security guard supposedly took a picture of it and then painted over it. Showed the picture to the police. The police said yes, it was accurate that somebody did write the N-word on his fence.
I can't believe Klay Thompson and Steph Curry would do that.
Yeah, okay.
Shocking. So
you know what's amazing to me though? Here's the thing. We don't know who did it.
Right.
It could be anybody. Let's wait and find. And supposedly there's some sort of video camera. Right. So we'll know who did it pretty quickly. But I was amazed. Here's the greatest athlete of his time right now doing maybe some of the greatest things we've ever seen on a basketball court. and just how
and he's a great guy at the same time.
Right, exactly. And he does a million things off the court for his community and Akron and everything else. We all know that. We've lauded him here for that 1,000 times over. Here's what I'm getting to. So he's getting ready to start the finals, and he's obviously touched by this in a very, very emotional and negative way. And I can't say that I wouldn't be either if it were me. But if you follow Twitter, right, mm-hmm. there are 1,000 insults that are thrown at everybody every yeah. single day. Mm-hmm. But there's also 1,000 pats on the back, and I'm sure he has 1,000 pats on the back. Were you surprised about the way that he reacted to the thing yesterday?
No, he's always taken a stance, and I applaud him for that. I always say, you know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they never did anything, I think, to help, you know, the black athlete, you know, guys in inner city that deal with all types of issues. LeBron has, you know, been vocal about stepping out and talking about, you think about the Trayvon Martin when they came out with the hoodies and things like that. He does everything the right way, and I know, you know, we live in an era where we wait for the shoe to fall off our you know, so to speak, to fall off our heroes, and he's lived up, you know, to all the hype, and he's been everything that you can ask for as an athlete. But unfortunately, that's what happens, you know, and I think it, you know, I love this response. You know, it's important for people to see, because if it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. Like, what could you possibly have against LeBron James?
Well, I mean, if you're a Golden State Warrior fan, I could see what you could have right. against
yeah,
him.
But, right? but that crosses the line.
That,
when you talk about,
I understand that, but I, you know, maybe, but I, again, I want to see who the person actually is who did this.
Let me take a break in this. Bart's going to hang for another
segment. I don't
think
it was somebody named Leroy. I can bet. I don't think it was Leroy or Pookie. Leroy or Pookie didn't do that.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Well, Bart Scott's got a camp coming up towards the end of June in Randolph, New Jersey called, let's see, the Can't Wait Performance Camp.
Yeah, man.
And he'll be out there with Javon Parker and Brickishaw, Rex Ryan, Chris Canty, Willie Colon, Ray Rice, Jameel McClain, and a bunch of others, including David Harris from the Jets. And how many kids can go to this camp?
As many as can fit inside a building without the fire department shutting us down, man.
And yeah, the camp is June 26th to the 28th. So before a lot of kids go wherever the hell they go for the summer, you have to be 11 or older. And I'm sure there's a website, but you have to look it
hey,
up.
What yourself. Is, have you spoken to Rex?
Yeah, I talked to Rex.
How's he doing?
Man, he's loving life, man. Listen, he's still got guaranteed money and another job. You get paid from your old job while you're working on a new job. Don't get any better than that, man.
Did he move back to Jersey? Is he living back here now, or where
no,
is
no,
he?
No. He's in Tennessee. Just bought another compound. You know what I'm saying? You can live like a king down in Tennessee, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have the ball on the budget. I could straight out ball if I went to live in Tennessee.
Maybe that's your future now, you know?
Hey, man.
Right?
I'm open to anything.
And whatever happened... And this is amazing. So Bart and I spent about an hour and a half to 2 hours in a car last year driving
great
down
times.
To that event down in Garmany.
Yeah, man.
And we're going down to Red Bank, New Jersey, and I'm driving. And I want to get to know Bart a little bit more. And I'm like, you know, tell me about your family and everything. Right? They actually have a movie script about or a movie treatment
yeah,
about
Warner
your
Brothers
life.
Yeah, Warner Brothers' only story to my life. Yeah, man.
No, man. It's a story. You were raised by your sisters,
listen,
right?
Man, it doesn't get any funnier than being growing up in Detroit in the 80s during the crack and gang era, man.
Right.
They call one of my uncles Chicken George off of Roots. I got another uncle, man, that he walks around with wrist bandages around his wrist with knives in there. And I remember, you know, he always used to come up to me with some Vietnam, like, karate move. I take your throat out. Like, all right, man. So I get a call one day. Uncle got beat up. Uncle got beat up at a park. Because he got drunk talking stuff, got beat up by like a bunch of teenagers. I say, man, why you hit him with the move? Hey, man, shut up. And he always comb his hair. First of all, black man combs his hair to the back,
right?
Pulls all his hair out. He drinks Mohawk vodka. You know, listen, Mohawk vodka has cost $1.79 since the 80s.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It got to be like ethanol or something in there, man. And he chases it with ice water, man. You can't make this stuff up.
That's
my
a
family,
man's man right there.
That's a whole nother show. Y'all
got enough stuff. But whatever happened to the movie treatment is what I want to know. Where is it right now?
I don't know, man. You know with these movie scripts, man, they... You know, hopefully they'll resurface after the Tupac movie. After the Tupac movie come out, maybe they have some room.
Did anybody ever write it? Like, is there a script for it?
Well, you know what? Gay Talese followed me around for maybe 2 years when I first got here with the Jets, so he has a lot of materials. Matter of fact, I need to holler at Gay. He has my still got a bunch of family pictures and stuff, man.
You gotta get them back.
Yeah, man.
But you were raised by your sisters, right?
Well, no. I was raised by my mom, but I grew up.
Your sisters just be able to kick your ass.
Yeah, that's how I got thugged out, bro. Let me tell you something. My sisters don't play. My sisters walk around with that strap. Run up on them if you think so. Think it's a game. My sisters, I'm telling you, man, my sisters beat the hell out of me. Like, well, I had one acted as my mother because she's 10 years older than me, so she would give me whoopings. And then I had the other one that tortured me, the middle child, because she was used to being the youngest. So she used to lock me in the basement, and we had this furnace that my mom said, they used to tell me it was the gates of hell. So we used to get in trouble. They put it on the steps. And my mom used to sing the Omen song, the Holy, the Mighty, the Holy. Like when the Damon was coming right before somebody died. So then when she would go to work, they would throw me in the steps and I would just cry myself to sleep on the steps. My mom come back, I'm in the basement steps. Like they were vicious. But I tell you what, when I got in them streets, if you can deal with a sister that's 10 years older than you, right, and another sister that's 6 years older than you, couldn't no kid my age deal with me. I had them paws. Run up if you want to. I got a lot of frustration.
You're good to go.
So the birth of the mad backer right there, baby.
So he was telling this story basically for an hour and a half going down to Red Bank. And I mean, I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Well, how old were you when physically you got to a point where they stopped messing with you?
So I told him, I always told him when I turned 13, it's going down.
Right.
You know, put your paws up. We going to fight. They start acting nice to me around 12. You know what I mean? I was playing football, doing them push-ups. I was ready. You know what I'm saying? It's funny, man. I remember we had this big gang fight, right? You know, it's like, all right, I had to walk through three gang territories, good school. And it was just like, I never knew when I had to fight. You know what I mean? Because what would happen is, like, the older kids on our block, that was selling drugs, doing whatever, doing hustling, they would get into it with the older guys from another block. And, I'm the only one going to school. Right. So I'm going to school. So I'm walking home from school, and all I see people following me. Like, what the hell they following me for? All right.
You're from the wrong block.
Now I got to something happened while I was in school trying to get an education.
Right.
And coming out, I don't know what's going on. Nobody informed me. There wasn't no cell phones back in the day. Like, hey, man, you might want to get picked up from school. So I just, throw them paws. But after a while, the neighborhood and everybody realized that I was a good athlete, that I wasn't about that gang life. And if you run up on me, it's a big possibility you're going to take
anybody,
a L.
Protect you? We're talking to Bart Scott. Anybody protect you or anything? Did you have anybody?
Well, I always had cousins. I got a huge family. And
how many people?
Well, my grandmother had seven kids. Each of those seven kids had at least 3 to 4 kids, so that made 21. Then since then, those kids have had kids. My grandmother probably has about 80 grand and great-grandkids.
And when you grew up, there's got to be 20, 30 kids all within a couple years of your age, right?
Oh, yeah.
On the same couple block area?
And listen, this is what we struggle with, right? Because our kids, they playing Minecraft and all that stuff. I became a great athlete by going outside and just playing tag and running all day. I only came back in to go to the store, get a pickle, and get a popsicle, and I was back outside playing all day.
Right.
Now our kids don't do anything, you know what I mean? So now, I got to try and create an environment. I got to throw a football camp for my kids to become an athlete. We used to just play football on the concrete. You fall, you get a strawberry, no harm, no foul.
That's it. Yeah. Well, the kids grow up differently now. But like you said to us last time here, you got to teach your son, the head bob.
That's a lot of stuff he
don't
know,
man. Suburban head bob, he didn't know anything about that.
Got no street cred, bro. I'm going to drop him off in Irvington. Just leave them. Like, make your way back. Make it home.
That's got to be interesting. That's got to be an interesting
My son don't know. I don't think my son knows he's black. He just thinks he's one thing. I don't know. He has no clue. He don't know. They corny haircuts, man. He don't care about how he dress, man. He wear a hoodie and dingy pants to school every day. Like, bro, I just bought you these Jordans, man. These collecting. He don't care. which is a great thing because I don't feel he feels that pressure to, in the hood, going to school is a fashion show.
So I want to get this right, because I'm fascinated by it. We talked. Kenny Anderson's become a good friend. He tells a similar story. He grew up, left rack, and at some point he was like 9 when he was this phenom, and there were the bad guys, the tough guys in the neighborhood looked out for him. Don't mess with this kid because he's going to get out.
No doubt.
You had something similar?
Well, I'll tell you what, you got to think just like 98. I remember, I follow Anthony Adams. For people who don't know who he is, he played in the NFL for about 10 years. I follow him, and one day on Instagram, and one day he put up the list. 10 guys that I grew up with and played the Little League against, from myself, Larry Foote, Drew Henson, all these guys. Well, Drew Henson was in the burbs, so he don't really count. Like 11 of us made it to the NFL out of that 1 year. You know what I mean? That's when
How many different high schools?
a lot. He'll host Antonio Gates, Chester Taylor, Ron Johnson, Javon Hunter. It was four of us just on the Ravens alone.
Right.
You know, and so it was super competitive. And it was just a blessing. It was a great time in Detroit. I learned a lot. It's kind of sculpted and made who I am. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I don't worry about anything. I don't worry about no job. Nothing stresses me out, man, because I know where I came from. So I'm built tougher than people.
You ever have a gun pulled on you?
Yeah, I carried a strap.
You did?
You had to. You know what I mean? That's just what it was. You know what I mean? The last time I got chased by this guy, right? So once again, I was a police explorer, right? So I was a police athlete.
Police explorer.
So I'm walking to our police explorer meet with a couple of my cousins. And all of a sudden I hear, there they go right there. And I'm looking like, huh? I swear. It was like four cars of guys jumped out with guns, bats, crowbars. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I take off. We all take off. First, only time I've ever ran in my life. And the only reason I ran and didn't stand my ground is because, you know, my female cousins was with me. So we ran and whatever. So it was these guys were like 20, 30, and then some of them are my age, go to school. So this guy had this, one of the guys that chased me had the nerve to come to school the next day. Why he do that?
What happened to him?
Ooh, I gave him the one-hitter quitter. You know what I'm saying? Like Jody, you know what I'm saying? From Baby Boy. You know that man put them paws on him. So much so that his mother moved him out the neighborhood. He was afraid to say who did it. And then it was crazy because I went to college and I came back and he was at McDonald's and he saw me. He ran into the back. That's how you got to do it. You got to beat somebody so bad in the hood that, listen, that was a message to everybody. Run
Don't
up if you want
Bart
to,
because
it's going to go down.
Was there any retaliation
we gotta fight every
for
day.
That or no?
Nah, they ain't want no. He's like, you know what? You win.
Did a guy ever actually put a gun to you?
Nah, but they had guns. Listen, and it was weird because I kind of had a pass because I could jump because a lot of my teammates, because I played sports, was in those neighborhoods. So, listen, I wasn't about that life. I wasn't trying to live that way. You know what I mean? I never was a bad kid. I always wanted to do something more. You know what I mean? I had great support from my mother. You know what I mean? My other cousins, everybody in my neighborhood moved out of town and started selling drugs at ninth grade. Everybody I grew up with dropped out of school in ninth grade to set up shop.
Right.
Well, I can't snitch, but out of town, you know what I mean? But that's just what it was, man. Did but anyway, come to my can't wait camp, man. I'm going to whoop your kids and shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if the statute of limitations ran out on some of these crimes I'm sitting here describing.
That's all right. But you've actually straightened yourself out.
They would have had, at some point, someone had said to you, why don't you come with us? Make some money, right?
Man, I had all that, man.
Yeah,
like,
but did you tell me, like,
my
the
entire family
would protect you, though? Like, the neighbor, like, they knew that you were going to become something.
They knew I was different, man. They was like, man, this dude walked different.
Well, like,
you know
Kenny
what I mean?
Anderson said the
He's
same
a little
thing.
Different, man. Like, in... You know, I wasn't the best athlete on my block. That's the crazy thing.
That's what I was going to ask
you. I was just
next.
The one that stayed the most consistent.
I'm saying there had to be kids that you grew up with who could have been professional, right?
Man, it could have been anything, man. But they dropped out. So, you know, I'll take the money. I'll take the millions. Appreciate
That's
you.
It.
Process of elimination. So there could only be one, like Highlander.
It's called Can't Wait Performance Camp. It's Bart Scott. And if you're a TV executive, Bart's looking for a gig. Radio 2, why don't you consider doing
I'm balling
the
buzz.
The
listen,
fan.
I got about 3 weeks before I have to sell this watch for my mortgage, man.
Listen,
what's up?
It's a nice watch.
Hey, let me ask you this question. How do they get involved in the camp? Is there a website or anything?
Yes, a website. It's ISP.
So it's the ISP Event Center.
Yeah, exactly.
So and go to ISPEventCenter.com and you can check it out. I'm sure you can Google it now as well. And
can I tell you about guys why I decided to do a camp?
Yeah, please.
Because, you know, when I was in Baltimore, I used to do a camp, but it took a lot of energy out of me because, you know, I'm either all or nothing. So I went to a camp of this great Big Ten school. I'm not going to say what the school is. And you know what the highlight of the camp was? These guys, probably 10,000 students there. Student athletes, and they probably paid over $500 a person. And the highlight was they were playing tag. They played tag. And so then I go talk to the coach. I'm like, hey, man, you know, he's doing this wrong. Can I correct? He's like, who cares? Like, who cares? These people paid $500 their hard-earned money. You guys probably bringing in $500,000. And these kids are not going to leave this camp any better than when they came. So when you come to the Can't Wait camp, not only are you going to learn about football, you're also going to go over and transition to a circuit where you're going to learn performance. I brought all my friends. I had no idiots. None of my dumb teammates would be involved in it. Listen, and you know who you are. You know who you are. Some of you guys were dumb. You know, you need the wristband just to figure out where to line up, right? So all the guys that are smart, that has tremendous football acumen will be there. Guys that are teachers. You know, I got guys like Rob Burnett. You know, Rob Burnett played on that famous, you know, 2000, you know, defense. He played with Ozzie, actually. And he actually played like 15 years. Got over 80 sacks, right? So guys can come there. You're going to learn the how, the what, and the why. You know, I'm going to give you more tools for your toolbox to be a high percentage decision maker.
And kids playing tackle or flag or
No. It's not even about that. This is a performance camp. So you're going to learn. You're going to go through drills. You're going to go through a simulated practice. But then you're going to rotate to the guys that are responsible for me keeping my cardiovascular performance up, keeping me in shape. So they're going to go learn how to run, how to change direction, shift weight. So it's not just football. You're going to learn how to be a better athlete no matter what sport you're going to do. Then I'm going to transition you to my wellness part, where you're going to learn about nutrition. I'm going to make these kids do yoga, because the biggest thing always happens when you're in high school, I got to get bigger. Listen, if you can't line up your target, if you can't get to the connection point, the junction point, then how can you use that strength and all that power? So you need to be limber. You got to need to be a loose athlete. You need to be a fluid athlete. This time, more important than ever. Any other time, it's more important to be more athletic than more about strength and power.
Do you do the paw throwing class before lunch or after lunch?
The paw? What's paw throwing?
When you throw paws? When you teach kids how to throw paws?
Everything you learn in your pass rush, if you close your fist and go to somebody's chin, you know what I'm saying? Protect yourself.
So I'm sure parents are going to want to know: do they play a game as well, or is it all about conditioning?
It's all about becoming a better football player.
Other stuff.
You're going to learn how to pass rush. You're going to learn long arm stab. You're going to learn how to chop. You're going to learn how to slap rip. You're going to learn how to have proper leverage on your zones. You're going to learn something, man.
I like that.
What are you benching these days?
You know what? It's crazy.
Yeah, I think you're a little smaller than I last saw you.
I'm Gucci. Where we at?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
By the way, are you working out that gym where you raise the rates? Or no? Okay, you're posing now.
We Gucci right here, bro. You know what I'm saying? My wife need to see me and be turned on.
I was trying to do the same thing, and he went to a gym because it was a lower price than the gym he was at, and he bumps into Bart Scott, and Bart Scott
Al
goes,
looks like he's on a vegan diet.
I'm doubling your rates.
Al looks like he's on a vegan diet, man. He looks like he lost all his muscle. He's doing nothing but cardio.
I'm like you. I'm doing no carbs.
Somebody going to run up on you, man. Listen, I'm all about getting in shape and losing weight, but it's a point where somebody like, you know what? I think I can take him. You know what I mean? I got all, as long as I'm always above that, I don't know. I'm good.
You got to run, though. You got to realize that Al runs the mean streets of the Jersey Shore. Yeah. You know, he's down there, Spring Lake.
Yeah, no, all he does, he got glow stick in his mouth.
If you left the house, he might be
too old.
Guy.
You're too old to be doing that techno dance stuff, man, all at these raids and stuff, man. Grow up.
He's told to do a lot of things that he's not doing. Bart, it's good seeing you, man.
Oh, you're kicking me out.
You can stay for the rest of the morning if you want.
Listen, you know how long it took me to get here, man?
Feel free to
I thought
stay.
I was going
to
talk about Tiger. I was ready to talk about Kevin Durant and why people hating on my boy.
We'll come back and do that. Yeah,
coming up,
what
did Bart Scott think about Tiger
Woods?
Get booming
the day off today, man.
I assume you've seen the video, Bart? Yes or no?
I concur.
Yeah,
listen, I got something to say about Tiger, man. Y'all hating on Tiger. Y'all don't even know what happened. I know what happened.
Tiger, next. Exactly what happened that night.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
Ambien, are in like a sleepwalking state.
I've told
where they almost
story
sleep
all the up,
and they sleepwalk.
A friend of mine jumped off the roof of his house, broke his ankle, and had a compound fracture of his leg, and slept through it.
And woke
up in the morning, didn't know what he was doing there.
Exactly. So just imagine if he took some Oxycontin or some Percocet or whatever, and then he's like, you know what, I still can't sleep. I want to go to sleep and take an Ambien. And then get up and operate a vehicle, not know that he's operating.
See, I agree. He might have a problem. I don't think just based on this you can say he's got a problem or it's a quote unquote cry for help. No one knows. He may have just been in a lot of discomfort and pain, wanted to go to bed, took the wrong combination of stuff, all of it prescribed. Next thing you know, like even when the officers pulled him over, or they didn't pull him over when they found him, where are you? Orange County.
When they discovered him.
Where are you going? I don't know. Do you know where you're at?
I'm going to Neverland.
Right. You see the video. His eyes are closed. Yeah. He don't know where he's at.
Exactly. Yeah, people want to rush the judge. Listen, when you've made this type of celebrity status as Tiger Woods, people can't wait to see you fall, right? he's probably, you know, one of the most recognizable people in the world.
For sure.
And people can't wait for you to have something so they can make fun and say, see, you're not perfect. Because, you know, their lives are miserable. So people wait for you to something for you to happen so they can jump on top, not even knowing the facts.
Yeah, when that happens, especially with social media these days. Like, there are people that were happy that this happened to them. Or, I mean, you don't have to like Tiger Woods.
Crabs
like,
in a bucket. We call it crabs in a bucket.
Like, I don't get that reference, but all right.
Crabs in a bucket. So if you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, yeah. If one tried to climb out, the other one would grab it.
Not
understanding that if they just use each other, they can all get out. Crabs in a bucket, man.
Crabs in a bucket.
Crabs
see?
In a bucket. Hood, that's
we call that hood philosophy. You don't know nothing about that.
Sometimes you guys around here are like a bunch of crabs in a bucket.
That's a lot different than
that. Yeah, Boomer's trying to be the star. Y'all won't let him get to the top.
Boomer's been to the top.
You can stand on his shoulders. You can see far if you stand on the shoulders of
that's
a giant.
Exactly right.
He won't let us.
Can we stand on the shoulders?
Come on, that's not true.
Can we stand on the shoulders of a giant?
That's not true.
Let me stand on your shoulders. I can see farther than a giant if you stand on the shoulders of a giant.
I don't look at myself in that regard, but I would just say this, that when we play softball, I get the best out of these guys.
You want to play tonight? You doing anything tonight?
Tonight I am. Yeah, I was going to step into one like Roger Dorn. You know what I'm saying? All I got to do is get on base. I'll steal my way home.
That's
I don't care
it.
How
don't
old.
You remember he played with us
he
last
never
year
played before.
He never, ever played.
That was the first time. I'm ready. I was ready for my rematch.
But
you know
if you do make contact, the ball's going to go far.
Somehow they got your stuff.
But you look
ooh,
good
boy,
you got your uniform
I'm looking like Pui. And Pui can't play that well, so I should be able to play baseball.
You ain't wearing a belt, though. Boomer's got a problem with that.
Yeah,
you're not
you
wearing the full uniform.
You got to wear the full uniform. You got to look the part.
Well,
you
listen,
play the part.
Listen, I got to know the part to be able to play the part.
I mean, it's baseball.
You still got
you
your uniform.
You grew up in Detroit. How did you and
so
you've
I
never
ever tell you the story
baseball.
Why I stopped playing baseball? Why I never played baseball? My dad was a great baseball player, wanted me to play baseball. So, all right, I'm going to go out and play baseball. And, this is the week for tryouts. So I see one of my buddies walking down the street. And I go see him, and he's walking down the street. He's getting closer and closer. The closer you get, I'm looking at his grill. It's all so I say, damn, what happened to you? I say, man, I got hit in the face with a baseball. All his teeth.
Yeah.
Broken. He must have bit the baby. Somebody must do the baby. He's like, bro, what the hell you do? So I ask him, I say, man, the pitcher hit you with the baseball. I say, what you do? Did you take the bat and beat the hell out of him?
Right.
He said, nah. I said, all right, hell no. Listen, a lot of things. Listen, crooked fingers, reconstructive toe surgery, torn labrum, cool. I'm not messing up my grill, baby. There's some things I just won't sacrifice. You know, football for all the pain.
Right.
Mouthpiece. Face mask.
Your
face Gucci.
Is all right.
I'm Gucci.
You survived 15 years in the NFL.
He's had a hard life, I'm sure, with them little dolphin teeth that he got. You know what I'm saying? He from the hood, he couldn't afford to get them veneers. You know what I'm saying? So he walk around with dolphin teeth. He not going to get no play. Listen, everything we do in life is for women. And you ain't getting no tight woman with dolphin teeth. So that's why I didn't play baseball.
Imagine the kind of women you are getting with dolphin teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
You women who play baseball.
I'm not allowed to say hysterectomy.
You can say hysterectomy all you want.
Yeah, he has hysterectomy he gives to a woman, man. Can't be doing that.
It's no good.
You get a bad rep.
Yeah.
Girl, I can't have kids no more. Mess with him.
When you sit with Bart Scott for an extended period of time, you got to listen.
Yeah.
Because you never know what analogy is coming next.
So that's why I didn't know where left field was. Yeah, I didn't know.
I never said anything like it. Here's an American kid from Detroit.
Yeah.
Great athlete.
Tigers.
NFL, the whole bit. And he doesn't know how to put the glove on. Didn't know where to go.
No, I know how to pick the glove.
It's kind of like Ray Rice. Ray Rice
was
like
similar. We grew up in the same town. Like, Ray, how is it possible? You know, you played basketball, played football, had never played softball.
I mean, who was my heroes in Detroit at the time? Cecil Fielder, Sweet Lou Whitaker. That was about it, man.
Right.
They ain't have enough swag
but
for me.
But an American kid who's a great athlete at some point would have played baseball.
Listen.
Seen a ball game with
somebody,
his dad, something.
I did, but if somebody would have put me to the side and said, listen, man, in the future, they're going to be giving out $200 million, I would have threw that football pad so far away, man, I would have been the greatest baseball player ever.
See that?
I just stole bases all day. You
now,
can't catch
you
me.
You can't play tonight, though.
No, I can't. Yeah, I got... You got some business. Hey, I need to find this guy. I need a quarterback for my camp. I need somebody to teach
Chris
my kids.
Chris Sims, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, well, he's not.
See, Chris, you know what I'm saying? Chris a little bit, you know what I'm saying? At the bottom, you know what I'm saying? Got to
with the teeth?
Yeah, got to hook that up.
True Chris Sims! You got to fix this. Fix the teeth. Well, we maybe got
that bread, man.
Probably got that from his dad.
But they got that bread, though.
Oh, yeah.
They got that cheese. He don't have to work.
They got the Sims money. They're selling the house.
Yeah, he ain't got that money. They got that cheese.
All of Franklin Lakes is being sold because Phil's moving.
Basically,
he's got Franklin Lake. It's his lake.
Yeah, it is
his lake. They got that cheese, man.
Yeah, you do need a quarterback for your camp. I'm sure he ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Chris,
I love playing against him, man. He helped my career out tremendously.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he gave up sacks so good.
Well, when you game plan for Chris Sims, what happened in the defensive meeting?
Well, it was funny. It was almost laughable because John Gruden had this protection where they full slid all the time from the tackle, from the guard on out. So it only left two men on the island. So come on, man. You can't be predictable with Rex. Right. Now we sent five to one side. He's running for his life. Appreciate you. Him and Joe Gibbs, my favorite people in the whole world. Joe Gibbs came back and he still had the checks from when he played the first go round. Right. So yellow was like left and green was right. So we back there killing porters like, go the other way. They blue, yellow. We like, everybody shift. It's like little giant. Porters in the back, they think I'm killing. God, time out. Too late. I love guys like that, man. They never change, never adapt.
Clinton Portis, was he complaining on the field? Like, you guys knew where he was going or not?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was like, man, how do they know? Dummy, you saying yellow and green. Like, that's like from 1980. You know how many cheat notes we had since then? Like, Doug Williams was like, what happened to me?
Do you ever think they do like it's a decoy thing that you wouldn't catch on?
Well, you know who was good like that was Peyton. So we have something and we play him the next time. He changed the same word means something different. And they were good at stealing your signal. You know, people want to talk about the Patriots stealing stuff. Man, nobody was greater than the Colts.
In what way?
Under Tony
Dungy,
man,
they
right?
Steal, they steal everything. They would steal your signs. They have people stealing your signs from, like, the year before. People, they send scouts out to your games when you're playing somebody else. Mm. They steal your signals. So if you ever watch us when we played when I was with Baltimore, whenever we played against the Colts, we had wristbands because they knew they were cheating.
So
they don't cheat.
You
cheating,
get picked right? up you're that fast. You're listening to their stuff and reacting to what they're doing. Yeah, but you know their
stuff. But we're listening but to their
when
stuff.
When they go after your stuff, all of a sudden you get a little upset.
We're listening to their stuff while we're on the field. They sending somebody with microphones and decoding our stuff in other games. That's but you just
can make,
immoral.
When you play football, you can make an adjustment that fast on the field?
Heck yeah.
Really?
Hey, man, listen. Football players might not be smart in everything. But you know, I'm telling you, like, it's hard to learn a playbook. And that's what happens. You get great athletes that come and they don't have the knowledge to be able to be able to process information in a short period of time.
What's a defensive like play call sound like? Boomer's giving us old Rex, 80, Zebra, 9, Fly.
I ain't listening to
you
that
guys,
stuff.
You guys have done that on defense, right?
First of all, I'm just listening about who he's calling out as the mic. You know, that's why and I said this before, man. Like, we're in an era where I think we have some of the dumbest football players in the history of this sport. They're so dumb. Man, Tom Brady can play till he's 60. These people are so dumb. I mean, Tom Brady's been doing the same plays, and what happens is he's played so long that the other athletes have retired, and it's a whole new batch that don't know nothing. And then they keep falling for the banana in the tailpipe every time. I mean, what is Tom Brady doing on the goal line? He's going to go to empty.
Right.
He's been doing that since, like, the 90s. Right. He go to empty. Why is he doing that? He wants to see if you're a man or zone. He bring you back in. He does a box count. And if the box count is light, it's a direct snap to the running back. If not, then it's a quick slant. Like, come on, man. I look at Atlanta like, really? You fell for that one? Like, did you only scout Drew Brees, the NFC? Did you not look at the AFC? Like, come on, man. So he'll play till he's 80 because the athletes are dumb. Because what happens is college coaches are playing Madden. So they're doing all the thinking. So, like I said before, you go to the line of scrimmage. You say blue 9-7, and then the whole team look up and say, "Coach, now what do we do from here?" And they hold up a sign.
Oh,
Twinkie hot dog. Okay, that means Twinkie hot dog. They can't even call a damn play when they get to the league. They can't even learn how to read. No quarterback can't even learn how to read the safety. They safety drop. They blow their mind if a safety drop in and drop back out. They'll throw it right to them.
Have you seen either of the Jet quarterbacks?
They have a quarterback?
Is it that bad?
I don't know, man. Listen, I think in the draft, I think they should have took O.J. Howard, man. I think he would have solved a lot more problems than the kid Adams, who I think is a great player, but I don't know if he can really have that big of an impact as his rookie year. You think about having Howard, I think with Safarian Jenkins has, you know, despite it, he doesn't want to be fat no more.
Yeah, well, he came back, and to his credit, you know, it's like much people like Brandon Marshall.
Yeah.
Figured out what his problems were, tried to work on his problems, and now looks like
he's
really
motivated.
And he don't
want
to
be fat no more, right? He lost 25 pounds.
That's so right.
Now,
and he wants to be the athlete.
So what happens? What's the hardest thing? Because we know he was a tremendous, you know, receiving tight end, right? And he was a willing blocker.
Yep.
So if you would have paired him with Howard, now that solves your That would have solved their line issues. Because now that bumps the defender out one more step. That buys more time. He can chip his way out. But also now it's a matchup problem because you have two tight ends. Those two guys are great receivers, so they could act as receivers. So now you, as a defense, I have to decide, do I bring a dime in, a nickel in? Okay, you bring a nickel in. Now you got a 205-pound DB versus my 260-pound tight end. I don't care if he's a great blocker or not. If you can't block that guy, you can't be in the league. So now you run the ball. So now you put a big linebacker out there because now I don't do. Now you throw. Yeah. And you play that game. So they had an opportunity to maybe not be a great defense, but to be a much more improved offense.
But I know what they're thinking, though. I think in my heart they're thinking they have to play defense first. They got to stop people. Well, I'm just telling you what I think they're thinking. And they also said that this kid Adams was one of the top two players coming out in the draft. And, you know, much like when Leonard Williams fell to them, that he was just too good of a player to say no to.
But is he Earl Thomas? Is he Ed Reed?
But that's what,
because
that's
to justify that pick up there – and to be able to affect the team for 10 years, he needs to be that caliber player.
Well,
and I see him as a scud missile, but I don't see him as a game changer. You know, the difference between, you know, Polamalu and Ed Reed was those game changing plays because they got turnovers. They either caused fumbles, return punts. You know, other safeties in this league are great. They come down and hit you. Keanu Neal had a great rookie year, but I want a guy that can get me extra possessions.
Can he be Landon Collins?
Can Landon Collins be Landon Collins 2 years in a row?
Well, he was all pro safety last year, so can
I like that kid, though. I like that kid, though.
Make sure you check out the Can't Wait Performance Camp hosted by Bart Scott.
But he talked about Tiger.
Event Center. We talked about Tiger.
Man, see, that's the CTE. I forgot about Tiger. Man, see?
Hey, what a guy, real quick. What is the true material that guys use when Eli Manning's name comes up? What is the rank and file, the NFL players that you played with? When people discuss Eli Manning as a quarterback, what do they say?
I mean, he's that second tier quarterback. You know, me personally, I'll take about 12 quarterbacks before I take Eli, and that's in his prime or whenever. You know what I mean? But he's a guy that because of his demeanor, he was able to perform, and I feel in some pivotal moments, some other moments where other players might have pressed. Because of his personality, he was able to perform at the big moment, much like Joe Flacco, because he's unflappable.
Did you ever buy a game used helmet from him?
Yeah, I want a refund because I don't know if it's authentic.
Mm-mm. Just checking. Did you ever sell a game used helmet?
Let me tell you something. The Jets tried that crap on me, man. Like,
what's that?
My rookie year. Like, they start auctioning off our helmets, and I didn't know, and they were trying to give me a reused one. No, brother. That means something real with me. I got DNA up in that thing. You know what I'm saying? You want to sell my stuff. You know, am I worth that little?
Is it every game they would take it?
At the end of the season, they would take our throwbacks and all that stuff and sell them. I made them go get my stuff back and give me my stuff. Listen, this is part of my life's history. I don't care. This means way more to me than whatever that $5,000, whatever they sold my jersey for. If you don't get my stuff back, it's going to be consequences and repercussions.
Was Rex in on that?
No, man. Listen, NFL teams are all about making money. You know, you can say the winning all you want. Money, making money is first.
So they would take, at the end of the season, all your jerseys, your
helmets. And
sell
them. Oh, game win, do you buy this? Nah, bro. If you don't get my stuff back, I tell you what. Because you the one that touched it, I'm going to kick your ass. And then you're going to go get my jersey. And you can start lining them up. Or y'all can cut me. But I knew they couldn't cut me because I had guaranteed dough.
It's Boomer and Carton. Mornings from 6 to 10 on The Fan.
And now guess who I have on the hotline? Not Michael Jordan, not LeBron James.
Who do we got?
I have Randy Carfano from Randy Carfano Productions, and he's the guy that invented Mr. Met. So he's going to be the perfect guy for us to invent a brand new mascot. Randy, it's Boomer and Craig. You're on the radio. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, well, first I got to tell you, I did not invent Mr. Met. I helped him out a while back. He was done by another shop way, way, way long time ago. Well, thank you for the flattery, but no. I've been working in the mascot industry since 83. Worked on the Philly Fanatic with another shop for 19 years. Just all kinds of mascot stuff. And Mr. Met's.
We need a mascot, Randy.
Have one.
What do you want?
Well, here's the deal.
You got to help us. You got to walk us through the process.
We need your expertise. We need a little creativity here.
Okay.
It's going to be fan related because, as you know, we're on WFAN.
Yep.
We thought maybe some kind of gorilla theme would be good.
Okay.
And, you know, like almost like an animal that doesn't really exist.
But I think he's got to be blue. I think he's got to be a blue animal.
A blue gorilla, fine. I mean, we're not at all. We love all kinds of colors.
But so, I need the headpiece of the Boomer and Carton mascot creation to be really. I don't want it to be a gorilla. You see, I need it to be a little different.
Yeah, like the Fanatic kind of thing. It's got to be like
a combination, like Fanatic, Francesa, Gorilla, kind of meld it together.
The chicken.
And make it dope. Now, that's where you come
sure,
in. That's
not your, a problem. We can do it for you. You got $40 million? We got it. There you go. The way that we work, the way we work is we do concept designs, concept ideas, and then we just do back and forth until it is exactly what you want. So we give an idea of if it's basically a gorilla with all the other aspects to it, we then go to paper, get some flavors of that. Then once that's done, then we go to color. Say, okay, you want this, that color, and go from there. And make it 3D. We build it in 3D so you actually see it, because it's, of course, radio. You can't see it.
Right.
But you actually see it, and then somebody can wear it and be silly.
Well, you should know this, Randy. We are in 90 million homes nationwide. You can put us on DirecTV right now, channel 221, and you can see your name on the screen. But there's one last caveat. I got to be transparent. It's got to be all cards on the table, or else we can't have a relationship.
Okay. We like cards.
This is a pro bono job for you.
Pro bono? Oh, really? Well, that's lovely.
This is pro bono. It's for the greater good.
Uh-huh.
We need a mascot. We could talk off the air maybe about a couple of things, cover some, tangible out-of-pocket costs for sure.
Uh-huh.
But this is not a moneymaker for your company. I just want to be clear about that.
Yeah, well, that's great. I love the flattery. Love all that stuff. However, I'm a shop in New York City, and my guys, they got to get paid.
We're going to work it out. I'm just saying it's not going to be your standard fee is what I'm saying. But I can deal with that off the air with you, so I don't want to be disrespectful to what you guys do.
I hear you completely. Can I hear you completely? Like I said, I'm more than happy to talk about it. Absolutely. Just
what does the average mascot creation kit, cost?
Sports team mascots, you're looking about 20.
20,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to be in that ballpark per se. But
that
we'll
ballpark,
talk.
What ballpark you want.
But you know what? Very famous NFL
he'll
MVP, he'll Boomer Esiason.
The other thing we do, too, is see that a lot of people, they want mascots. We also do what we call walk-arounds, which are characters not quite as detailed-oriented as the mascots. I mean, the stuff we do for the Washington Nationals, they can literally jump out of airplanes with them, and they do. But we do what more like a walk-around character, which is a simplified version. Those you can get in the sixes range, six and eights range.
Yeah, that sounds good to us.
The company that I've been building my company for 100 years, we do it so that way people can afford and get what they want. And so
I got it.
Randy, what about just a head?
Just a head? Yeah, we do heads, absolutely.
No, we're not doing
just
a head.
Just do a head?
You mean like the presidents that run around eating sausages?
Get a head.
Like that kind of thing?
Well, we've done a couple of people wanted just heads, and we do an oversized head. It roughly is 18 inches across, and then a regular, and then there's a good, like, you could put football padding underneath a baseball shirt, and it looks like, whoa.
You did my main man, Earl Campbell. I saw the Earl Campbell head.
Yeah, I like Earl. And now he's still 12 feet tall.
Let's have a talk off the air about all this.
Yeah.
And how long does it take? Like a week?
Oh, no. We're talking 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. All right. So in the summertime, we could be done, though.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, and if you have an absolute deadline, it will make it work. But it's an investment in time, because the other thing, too, is every step of the way, since nothing, this is a concept right now.
Is it possible go from to, here to that. Have it built and presented to us on the show by July 4th weekend?
Maybe we'll break it out. Maybe we'll break it out the big party down at the Borgata.
August 18th, we're doing our 10th anniversary special at Borgata. How about that?
That's pretty amazing. Let's talk a little more about just the reality of because we've got a lot going on in the shop, too, and just more concrete ideas. And then take it from there. We most likely can make that happen, though.
Well, let me say this to all the other people that are doing business with Randy's company on West 39th Street. Your jobs are going to be put to the side for a little bit. Because Boom and I need a mascot made quick.
Sure, that would be lovely. I'll tell them that they're going to be able we'll do that for you. No problem at all.
All right, man. So listen, I'll put you on hold real quick so Al will make sure I get in touch with you. And Al will be our liaison. He'll be the point person to chat with you. And appreciate it. We'll work out the cost and all that stuff.
All right.
Momentarily. And be the man. And we need a badass mascot, all right?
All right, we'll do him. We'll do badass.
All right, hold on one second. All right, there you go. That's Randy.
Nice to talk.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.